often say, the first thing is before I start tonight, I would just like to say everything I tell you tonight happened. It was all real, and it was just as plain as day. And most salvation experiences are a lot more simple and less complicated than mine, I can assure you. I would not change my family because we had a deep love and respect for each other. And why I tell you that is because some of the reason that I was confused because of the way that I was brought up. But I love my mother very much, and because of her, I always had a respect for God and I feared Him. Foundation of salvation is so important in life to have. It gives us security and a strong faith in God to be able to walk through life. Without it, you're just walking around just like with your eyes closed and you're always nervous and upset. I had obstacles to face over salvation, which made my journey a lot more difficult than most. This testimony will show the love, mercy, and long-suffering that God will have towards us when we really want to know the truth. I live victorious today because of Jesus, who is faithful and will answer when we truly call upon Him. That's just that part. I grew up in Center Hill, Florida, down a little lime rock road, nestled behind an orange grove. We lived in a small Jim Walters home surrounded by beautiful oak trees, which I climbed all the time. I was like a tomboy. So there was a cow pasture behind the house where I would run and explore because I was very adventurous. I mean, if there was a dead cow out there, I'd go look at it, whatever. That's just the kind of child I was. Our family consisted of my daddy, Edward Toller, mama was Monette Toller, myself, and my sister, Janie. My daddy was a farmer and a tractor mechanic. My mother raised us and always was by my daddy's side, running errands for him. We all pitched in on the farming to sum it up, we all worked together to make a living. Sometimes I would drive the tractor. My sister, she would drive the tractor. My mother and I would set the setter, and my daddy would walk behind. Or we'd just turn it around, whatever way we wanted to do to set pepper. We had cucumbers, and that's what we did. So we had a hot house in Florida, did all that sort of thing. So we all worked together as a unit, so we were very close. We attended the First Baptist Church of Center Hill for all of my life until I married Jimmy Turner. I was taught by my mother that you could lose your salvation, which gave me a confusing childhood, which led into my adult life. My mother always would quote scriptures to us all the time, all of our life. She taught us the one scripture, Proverbs 1:7, the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. So I had a firm foundation of fear, you know, everything. So my sister too. Mark 8:36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the world, the whole world, and lose his own soul? So she taught us that the most important thing was Jesus. The things of this world were not that important, only Him. My mother feared and depended on God. She walked, talked, and lived Jesus. So you could see when she said something, you believed it. She would pray for people. Like, for instance, one time when I was a young girl, we heard a knock in the middle of the night, and our neighbor, she was drunk, came there and knocked on the door, and she had been beaten by her husband. My mama gets up out of the bed, takes her to the hospital. These are the kind of things that I remember that my mother did all of my life. So when she talked and said something, you believed her. When I was 5 or 6 years old, Billy Graham, you remember the crusades that he always had? And I was on TV, and I heard him, and I was listening to him, and we were in the Florida room in Center Hill, Florida, in that little house, and I heard him preaching, and he asked if we wanted to go to heaven or hell. You know, that's your decision. And I wanted to be saved. And so I went over there and sat by my mother. I didn't say anything. And she said, Debbie, what is wrong? And she said, do you want to be saved? Ask Jesus in your life. And I said, yes. And she led me through the salvation plan, and we said it, and I did that. But I always had a doubt and confusion because it was never settled that once you're saved, you're always saved. So I always had that confusion in my heart. The thing that made me always so nervous and upset, I mean, all of my life from a young girl until I come to reality with everything, it was this doubt. You've got to face this, Debbie. You've got to know how are you going to get to heaven? What have I got to do? Because I could always see the faults in my life, and I was not perfect, and I'm still not perfect. But then I said, how am I going to make it to heaven? I just don't know. I'm not going to be good enough. And so I continued to see these faults and sin in my life, making me to see I couldn't make it to heaven with those obstacles. You see, I thought I had to be good enough to make it to heaven. At age 16, this was a reality to me. I wrote a letter to Jesus saying, Lord, please don't let me go to hell. And that was in my heart when I say this. This was reality to me. Jimmy and I married. I graduated school. He did too. And we married. And we worked. We're not faithful to God in church at first. We just stayed home. We weren't wild people, but we just worked and didn't serve God and give him our life and serve him until we was in our 30s. And 20s, you think you're indestructible, which we thought. And so then 30s come along, and you start thinking, reality, what is reality? And I had my son Cameron by then, and then Brittany came along when I was 25 with Cameron, 30 with Brittany. So we moved to a little Webster Baptist church and started going to church there. But you can't really serve God if you don't have all these questions and all this resolved in your heart. We're just going to church. So we were going there in 1985. We called ourselves serving God, but reality is you have to get things straight. 1988 was the year of all years to face fear and reality head on. What God and Jesus, how important are these decisions, and how are they going to shape my life? Then a book, I don't know if y'all remember this, but a book was published, and it said 88 Reasons Why Christ Was Going to Come Back. Did you, any of you here, remember that book? Well, I got that book, and it fell in my hands. I was not grounded in the Word of God, so I fell prey to that book. And they said that September 9, 10th, and 11th of 1988, the Lord was going to come back on one of those days. And so I was just excited at first, but then I fell apart because how was I going to stand before an awesome God? And terror struck my soul, and I was in a state of shock. I was reading this book, and I have to tell you, this is all that happened in my life. I was reading that book on a Saturday night and in my closet in my beautiful home in Webster, Florida, a home that Jimmy had just built. It was a beautiful home, the best home we ever had. I was in that closet reading this book. You would think we should be just really super happy and everything great. But at that time, when all this happened, the only thing that mattered to me was Jesus and me getting my life right and straight before him. In the closet, I sat there reading, and the light went off. Well, Jimmy was already in the bed asleep. I got up, I got in my bed, and I went to sleep. The next morning, I had a dream of all dreams. And I dreamed that the devil had these people and putting chains on them, pulling them to hell, and then he was coming after me. And I awoke, and he said, you're mine. And I said, no, I'm of the Lord's, and you cannot have me. We got ready, and we went to church that morning, and Brother Lamar was the pastor, and I asked him if I could say a word, because at that time I was hysterical. He didn't know what had happened to me. Well, I started confessing my faults before that church, And I knew that about my sins. I wanted to elaborate. I knew that God knew about my sins, so I was going to let him know that I was going to confess those sins and that I feared Jesus Christ and what he thought more than what the people thought. So these were the things that I went through and did. This was my journey. This process was about a 1.5 years of searching to know the truth for Debbie. Even though I was in a Baptist church, even though I was hearing the truth, I had to come to grips for myself that it was Jesus and him alone. And would Jesus forgive me? Oh, and can that really be true? Can I be saved and not have to worry about going to hell? And that was such like the biggest fairy tale in the world. Could that really be true? And I would cry from then every day, all the time. And while we were in the Little Webster Church during that time, there was a lady in the church, and I asked the Lord, "Lord, what do you want me to do in this church?" And he sent me to a lady named Pat Kelly because he knew I was in such despair. You cannot know what despair I was in. Everybody just really felt for me. But I went to her, and I didn't know what the lady needed or whatever. I went to her, and she had had a horrible life. She was a very humble lady. She would keep all the children, little children that needed to be helped. She was just a helper of the community. Through that, she needed to have to forgive her family, her mother, for all the horrible things that had went on in her life. So me, going through what I was trying to help her. One day, the Lord told me to go pray for her. And I just did not do that. And so I told my mother, I said, "Mama, the Lord wanted me to go pray for Pat." And she told me, she said, "Debbie, when the sun comes up, you go and you go pray for her." And while I was going, in my heart, I said, "Lord, this is the blind leading the blind. Why do you want me to do this?" I went, simply went in. I prayed for her. And when I did that, she got deathly sick and went and threw up. And I said, "Lord, why did this happen?" And so I went home, just always in despair. I mean, despair, despair, despair all the time, sadness. The preacher, nobody really didn't know what to do with me. And she called me, and she said, "Debbie," she said, she had been to Shands. I didn't know any of this. She had been to Shands Hospital. She said, "Debbie," she said, "I want you to know that I had a mass in my stomach, and now I went back, and the mass is gone." And I thought, oh, maybe God, maybe. This is how pitiful I was. Maybe you just love me just a little bit, and maybe you will forgive me, that you will hear me. This is just how I felt in such despair during that time. I listened to preachers continuously all the time. That was all that was in my mind. Jimmy and I were living there in Webster, Florida, and so we felt that the Lord wanted us back in Alabama. We had tried to sell our beautiful home, couldn't, and then we said, "Well, Lord, if you want us back in Alabama, let the house sell." And a man drove down in there and wanted to buy the home. So we sold the home, come back to Alabama, Dothan, and we joined the church there, Mount Gilead Baptist Church, which that pastor had done a lot of counseling with me and talked to me many, many times, and just was very good to me. We then joined that church, and Jimmy and I were teaching the training union children. Well, one Sunday afternoon, I said, "Lord," I said, "you know that you had forgiven David for what he had done," because always doubting, no matter when it was, I mean 24/7 doubt in my heart and despair. I said, "Lord, if you have truly forgiven me," I said, "would you just let Pat call me from Florida?" And this was on a Sunday, that Sunday afternoon. I said, "because you let Nathan go to David and tell David that he had sinned, but you was going to forgive him. And you let Nathan tell him that, even though he would have to suffer." So she called me. There again, I said, well, thank you, Lord. Maybe you do forgive me. I kept searching and searching and praying and thinking and looking and just my heart looking for God every day and all through the day. And then one night, we were in the rented house. Jimmy was building our other house, our house, and was living in Raymond Purvis's house. And Cameron and Brittany were in one room, and Jimmy and I were in the other bedroom. And I was laying there about 12:30 at night. And as I was laying there, I heard my son, because my son was very sick all his life, very, very sick, had all kind of allergies. I just had to take care of him all the time at the doctors, gave him shots, everything. And then when he was 12, he had an accident and would have seizures, so I would definitely hear whatever he said, anything I could hear him at night. So I was laying in the bed at 12:30 at night, and I heard Cameron, and they were all asleep, say out of his mouth, "Why do you still doubt me?" And I was laying there doubting the Lord. And then again I said, "Cameron, is that you?" And he said, "Why do you still doubt me?" And there and then at that moment, I said, "Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for doubting, and that I receive you in my heart, and I believe that you, through the cross and what you did on Calvary, saved me, and that I will doubt no more." And from that time until today, my mind has been free. I am a free person, and I believe in Jesus Christ, and it's not a fairy tale. It's real. And so a person that went through all that suffering and all that sorrow immediately turned into happiness and joy. Here's what I have to say. God is long-suffering towards us. He is merciful unto us. He knows that we are but dust. And then 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men are, count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In the midst of all my fear and confusion, God gave clarity. The time might not be in a day, or maybe days, or maybe in my case, like a couple of years. Was it easy what I went through? No. Do I want to have to go through anything like that again? No. But if I had to get to do that to get to Jesus, yes, I would. But I don't have to do that anymore because I'm free. God was merciful and long-suffering to me. Isaiah 28:10 says, "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little." It is God's word that gives us faith. First and foremost, it is God Almighty who puts anything in our hearts. John 6:44, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." God gets all the glory. God can use fear, confusion, death, sickness, anything to bring us to him, because ultimately it is God, the author and finisher of our faith. Let me see here. I've got something messed up. God, when our, and then I did, I know what I did wrong there. Did I walk through the valley when losing Cameron? Yes, but Jesus was right by my side. With a still voice saying, "I can take care of him much better than you can." And at that time, when we went over there to where my son was killed, my friend lived across the way, Peggy, that comes sometime, her and her husband, they are the ones that took us over to the hospital. I wouldn't go in to see my son because it would have destroyed me, because I couldn't stand to see him hurt. And my husband went in, and Brittany did, but I couldn't do it. But as I was sitting there, that in my voice was, "I can take care of him so much better than you can, Debbie." God gave me great comfort and confirmation. And as we were coming back, like the song that I sing, His Eyes on the Sparrow, I said, Peggy, you must say, tell me the words to that song as we were coming back from over there. And she said all the words to me. Before the funeral for Cameron, I said, Lord, I said, you know, he's my sweetheart. He's the most precious thing besides Brittany and my husband that you've ever given me. And I said, it's going to be mighty hard, Lord, for me to go and stand there at the head of my Cameron without you helping me. I always bow myself humbly before the Lord because without him, I can do nothing. So when I went in there to stand at the head of the casket by Cameron, there was flowers, and the sparrow was in there. And that gave me much peace and strength and comfort. And it started, I don't even know, early, and it got through about 9:30, 10, all the people. And I had, and so we had, it was, he gave me great strength. God gave me great comfort, confirmation, and peace. I could not describe it. It's peace that passes all understanding. And did God walk with me through the loss of my Cameron? Yes. But later, he put me down, and he let me walk. Because we have to walk the walk of faith. It's not always going to be easy. Was I sad? I was sad for a long, long time. Is it sometimes hard to see the path that he wants us to take? Yes. But God wants us to trust him blindly through the most difficult times. God is closest when we are in the deepest troubles. He never gives his grace until it is necessary. But when it is necessary, he comes in as a rushing wind. What am I trying to say? He will never leave us or forsake us. Praise God. For I am persuaded that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think. Do I sometimes doubt my circumstances when we face trials? Yes. But where will I go but to the Lord? In the dark hours, when there is no one around, I call on him. He is there. From a little girl to this old woman, God has directed my path. Do I fail? Yes. But God is rich in mercy, forgives me, and knows that I will fall down at his feet and ask for forgiveness. I almost lost everything I thought in 1988. But death rose to victory, where I was changed from a blind, confused girl to a spirit-led woman. These are the experiences God has for me. With God, we can expect the unexpected. Two, thank you. We never know what a day will bring. Three, there is no certainty in life, only the security of Jesus. Four, there will always be situations that bring us to our knees. Five, life is at best challenging, bringing problems we never could imagine. But God is always in the process of eliminating our securities so that the only security is Jesus Christ, who completes our journey to reach our destination with him in glory. This is not a fairy tale. It is true. So what am I trying to say? The only security in this world, in this life, is Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not to be worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I just want to say one thing. Isn't Jesus wonderful? He let me have the security of my salvation before he put all these hard trials in my way. Isn't he wonderful? Because if not, I would not be here today. He gets the glory. And here's is my last final scripture I want to say. Deuteronomy 4:29-31. But if from this thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. if thou shalt seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto his voice. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto thee. Them. This is the old covenant. Jesus is our new covenant. How much more? He will never leave us nor forsake us.
Thank you, Miss.
I wanted to sing one song if we could.
You help yourself.